Before we begin our sharing of the word, can you please now join me in prayer? Sige. Father, we come before you now with humility in our hearts because we know that this is your word that we approach this morning. Father, we approach it with fear and trembling because this is not just a newspaper or an article that we can read. This is your word, Lord. These are your very words, Lord. And so I come before you. I pray, even for myself, I pray, Lord God, that I will be an effective sharer of your word. I pray that I will be able to share this correctly, Lord. Father, anoint me, O Lord God, so that your word will indeed be shared, and shared passionately, shared effectively, in a way that will touch hearts, Lord. Hayaan niyo po, Panginoon, na mahipo kami dito sa message na ito, dahil hindi po ito message na galing sa akin, Panginoon. These are your words, Lord. And so we just entrust all of these to you. In Jesus' name, amen. There. Did you ever get that feeling of regret when you just thought that you might have made a wrong choice? Ayan po. I go through that sometimes. You're not yet sure. You cannot confirm if it was a wrong choice. But you just think that maybe, there could have been a better choice. No. For example, you just bought a TV or a brand new home appliance. So you just bought it, you brought it home, you set it up, and as you watch it for the first time, instead of feeling excited, you begin to have thoughts like, maybe I should have bought the bigger model. Konti na lang eh. Or maybe the one with more features. No. Kuminsan ganun eh. Ganun tayo, di ba? Sometimes, even if you make the right decision, you get that feeling of regret. Diba? You wonder if you made the right choice, and sometimes you develop unnecessary and unfounded issues like getting your money's worth or sometimes losing money in the purchase. Now, that's for purchases, diba? Or you might still be in school. Halimbawa, high school ka or college. And then, you look at your barkada. And then you look at the other groups. You look at the other barkadas. And then you think to yourself, why do I have to hang out with this bunch of losers? Parang ganun. Why didn't I just become part of the cooler or more popular groups? You enjoy your group's company. You have made some good friends in that barkada. But you cannot help but think about how it would probably be more fun to be part of another group. So sometimes ganon, especially if you're young. Now I hope you don't look at your spouse and begin to think, I wonder how my life would be if I married my ex instead. Would I have a happier, healthy marriage? Or would I be rich by now? So I hope you will not entertain any of those thoughts. No? Nothing good can come out of those thoughts. It will only lead to ruin. But this could have been what the disciples were thinking as Jesus bid farewell to his disciples during their last supper together. This could also be what the Lord Jesus Christ wanted to avoid when he concluded his upper room discourse the night before his crucifixion. Now please turn your Bibles with me to John 16. John 16, and we'll be reading from verse 32 to 33. John 16, 32 to 33. And then read the passage with me. Okay, here we go. Behold, an hour is coming for you to be scattered. And I'm sorry, behold, an hour is coming and has already come for you to be scattered, each to his own home, and to leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world. So these words conclude what most scholars refer to as the Upper Room Discourse. It's a series of teachings found in John chapter 13 to 17, where the Lord gives his final instructions to his disciples before his death. Now, these are his farewell words to them. Now, he gathered his disciples together for the Lord's Supper right before his crucifixion, and then gave his last words to all his disciples. This was followed by his high priestly prayer to the Father to be glorified in him, and a prayer for his disciples to be sanctified in the next several hours. He will be arrested, tried at night, and sentenced to a death so painful and humiliating. It was a death reserved for political or religious rebels, and then pirates, or the most notorious of criminals. It would be a painful death that would come so slowly that the victim would beg to be killed just to put an end to his suffering. The manner of death on the cross would be so fearful and humiliating that his friends would be afraid or humiliated to be associated with him. And sadly, that's what happened. He already warned them that Peter would deny him and that the apostles would forsake him. If you will turn your Bibles to John 19:25-27. John 19:25-27, and you will see how true this fear was. Standing by his cross were his mother, his mother's sister, Mary Magdalene, and another Mary, and the Apostle John. Yun lang po. Only the disciple John was standing beside his cross when he died. His disciples were not with him when he died. His other disciples were not with him when he died on the cross. And Christ himself foretold of his death. And this brought much sadness, much confusion and fear to his disciples. Several times in this discourse, John wrote that the hearts of the disciples were greatly troubled. And since his death was certain, what would now happen to them? With the death of Christ, they thought, came the death of their movement. With the master gone, they will be left with no leader who was strong enough, wise enough, or charismatic enough to take his place. No one. No one was like Christ among his disciples. And Christ himself warned that, eto pa, they will be scattered and left alone. The disciples were just few, only 12, and one even had to betray him. And all the other followers have abandoned him and will soon join the crowds who will shout the words, "Crucify him." When he fed 5,000, there were 5,000 men. Where were they? Every time he stood, there were huge crowds who would listen to him. Where were they all now? And we don't know. Maybe many of them joined the crowds who shouted, "Crucify him." Now, with all of these things that Jesus foretold, it would seem like the disciples made the wrong choice of leader. Mukhang mali yata yung ating sinalihan na movement o na grupo. Baka ganun. Maybe they would soon think that they should not have left their homes or their livelihoods or their families to follow him. If he died, as he foretold, it would appear that they placed their trust on a dead Savior and that all that they believed in was a lie. If that happened, nako, fake news naman pala lahat ng sinabi nito. That would have happened. Now jump to the present time, no? And you'll realize that this is what's happening in the world today. If you have been following our Biblical Perspectives on Contemporary Issues seminar, it would seem like the true Church of Christ is fighting a losing battle. We are part of the losing team. And the enemy is winning because they persecute those who are not on their side. You are so confused because the Bible says that there is no authority except that which God has established. And yet, there are authorities in some parts of the world who have declared abortion legal and will imprison religious leaders who deny same-sex couples of their right to marriage. Their numbers are growing, and every day we see prominent teachers of the Bible falling away and joining their ranks. So maybe you're starting to question, am I on the wrong side? These are prominent teachers who we used to admire and whose books we used to study. And you ask yourself, why are they now acting differently? Why do they now have different convictions? Why are they now apologizing that they have been too harsh on what the world calls the oppressed groups, and that they are now veering towards what they call progressive Christianity? Are the words of Christ being or becoming outdated? Ganun ba yun? Does it need to be studied and made to conform to what the world believes in? Are the words of Christ losing power? Is the enemy gaining ground because his supporters are growing each day while we see Christ's followers diminish every day? Is the enemy about to win? Have we been overcome by the enemy? Ganun ba yun? Is that what you're thinking? Now jump back to the upper room where Jesus gives his disciples these words for them to grasp an entirely different perspective. Yes, he warns them of tribulation, but at the same time, he gives them encouragement and an assurance that they are not alone and that they will go through this without him. Oh, with him. So in effect, this was what he was saying. Do not look at my death from the perspective of the world. Look at it from an eternal perspective. I will not be killed. I will give up my life. I will give it up. Not just for you, but for everyone who believes in me. That's what he was saying. I will not be humiliated by dying on the cross. I will be glorified. You are not on the losing side. By choosing to follow me, you are victors. It's not you will become victors. You are victors. I have overcome the world, he said. I am victorious. And because of your relationship with me, because of your faith in me, you too will overcome. So my message to you this morning is that Christ has overcome the world. And by his overcoming the world, he has given us victory. The theme of this message is victory in Christ. And the title I have given this message is Overcoming the World. And again, because I'm not fond of PowerPoint presentations, let me just read out to you my outline. The outline of this message is just a simple one with only three items. With the heading, How to Overcome the World, verse 33 gives us three instructions. Three instructions on how to overcome the world. Number one, be guided by the teachings of Christ. Again, be guided by the teachings of Christ. Number two, be comforted by the peace of Christ. Be comforted by the peace of Christ. And then finally, be strengthened by the victory of Christ. Be strengthened by the victory of Christ. And we will just go through this one by one. Now, this message is focused on verse 33 only, but I wanted to include verse 32 in the passage to give us just the proper context of the farewell message of Christ to his disciples. Now, before we go into the details of the outline, allow me to give just a brief summary of the last previous chapters of the book of John that Jesus went through during the entire upper room discourse. Now, if you have your Bibles with you, I would just like to invite you to go through these with me. So if you have, if you are in the book of John, please turn to John chapter 13. We will not read all of these chapters. You just have to read with me the titles of these chapters. So John 13 narrates the Lord's Supper, how Jesus washes his disciples' feet, and how he predicts his betrayal. There. John 14. In John 14, Jesus comforts his disciples by discussing oneness with the Father and the role of the Spirit. John 15. Yeah, here in this chapter, Jesus teaches that he is the vine and that the followers are the branches. He also teaches them their relation to each other and to the world. John 16 now gives his warning, the promise of the Holy Spirit, the foretelling of his death and resurrection, and teachings on prayer. Now, these are long teachings. It took Pastor Robbie many years to teach this here in this church. If you try to ask for recordings of these teachings, you will be given many CDs and many cassette tapes. Kasi when we started teaching this, hindi pa yata uso ang mga CDs noon. We started teaching, Pastor Robbie started teaching this while we were still in BCF. It was not yet called UC then, it was BCF. Ganun po katagal. And he finished it when we were already holding services here. Here in the sanctuary. Remember that we also held services at the basement for many years. So you can just imagine how long these teachings took. If you don't know what a cassette tape is, shame on you. Kawawa ka naman. Now, let's read verse 33 again. And you'll notice that it begins with the phrase, these things. These things. Notice also that the phrase, these things, have been repeated many times in chapter 16. In verse 1, sinabi doon, these things I have spoken to you so that you may be kept from stumbling. In verse 4, it says, but these things I have spoken to you so that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told you of them, etc., etc. These things. It occurs many times in chapter 16, and even in the previous chapters, it occurs many times. Now, what exactly are these things? These are the things that Jesus taught his disciples during the entire upper room discourse. But not just the upper room discourse. It includes all the teachings He gave everyone since the beginning of His ministry. Yan. By repeating the phrase, these things, Christ was emphasizing the importance of all of His teachings, His commandments, His instructions, Scripture, His very Word. And so, the first part of our outline on how to overcome the world is be guided by these things. Be guided by the teachings of Christ. Now, our review of John chapter 14 confirms the power of His Word. Go to verse 10. That's John 14, verse 10. He says that the words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does His works. So everything He taught them came from the Father. The truth that He teaches comes from the Father, and He is the spokesman of the Father. In verse 15, He says, His commandments must be kept. In verse 21, it says, we must keep His teachings. He who keeps them proves that he loves Christ. In verse 23, He says the same thing that is written in verse 21. He says, anyone who loves Christ keeps His word. In verse 24, Christ gives a warning that those who do not keep His word also rejects the Father's word. In John 15, verse 3, it says, His word made the disciples clean. In verse 7, we're on John 15. Ano po? So just scan with me these following verses. In John 7, it says, if we pray according to His word, it will be answered. In verse 10, anyone who keeps His commandments will abide in the love of Christ. In verse 11, if we are to have fullness of joy, we must have His word in us. His word brings joy to our hearts, and apart from His word, there can be no joy. His word, His word, His word. Christ, in verse 12, gives them the commandment to abide in His love. In verse 14, obeying His commandments is proof that they are His friends. In verse 17, Jesus gives the commandment to love one another. In verse 20, Jesus reminds them to keep all His previous teachings. Now, on top of this, He promised to send the Holy Spirit to teach them all things and bring to their remembrance all that He has said to them. So His word was so important that He had to keep repeating them to His apostles. These are my words. Remember it. If you cannot remember it, just go back to it and read it, because it's my timeless word. All that He said to them was truth. It means that those that goes against what He said was either a lie or an error. No matter how articulate or how eloquent a pastor or a teacher is, if it contradicts the words of Christ, if it contradicts the Bible, so no matter how many people are drawn to it, no matter how huge the number of their followers, we are not to be convinced or persuaded. We must return to His word and be guided by them. So important are His words that there can be no abiding apart from keeping His commands. To have the fullness of joy, we must have His word first. In John 15, verse 11, it says, His word brings joy to our hearts. Then there is the warning of painful consequences in our life, and even after our life, if we do not receive His teachings. And since this is the truth, we must be teaching the truth to others as well, because this is what He commanded. Now, why did he give this message? We see that still in the following words in verse 33. So that the disciples might have peace in a world of tribulation. In the world, there is tribulation. But in Christ, there is peace. This brings us to the second item in our outline on how to overcome the world. Number two, be comforted by the peace of Christ. So while Christ was with them, the apostles had someone who would provide for them, someone to protect them. They had someone to believe in and someone who would love them. Most importantly, while Christ was with them, their lives were filled with hope. Now, just when their hopes were at its highest, he tells them, in just a little while, I will have to leave you. What? We gave up our lives to follow you? Where will you go? More importantly, where will we go? What will we do? Now, try to imagine those questions coming up in the minds of the disciples. Not only that, but he warns them in John 16, verse 2. Ayan, lalo pang nananakot si Lord. They will make you outcasts from the synagogue. Everyone who kills you will think that he is offering service to God. What? How is that supposed to give me hope? How is that supposed to comfort me? Diba? How can you have peace in the face of all this? Remember, you will be scattered, and then your master is leaving you to face persecution and death alone, not even with your co-disciples. So how can you have peace in the face of these impending dangers? How do you have peace when your master is leaving you to face these tribulations alone? Now, Christ was telling them that this is exactly what his teaching gives, his peace. The more we absorb the teachings of Christ, the more peace we will have in our lives. He says in our passage, so that you may have peace. That's what it says in the passage. So the words of Christ result in the peace of Christ because Jesus Christ is the source of peace. Why else would he say that in me, you will have peace? Eh, alis ka nga eh. Surely he meant that when he leaves, his peace would remain. And so, turn to John 14, verse 27. John 14, 27. And let me read it for you. Peace I leave with you. There, I am going away, but I leave this with you. Peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. So that's what he was saying. He may not be with them physically, but his peace would remain in them because his words remain in them. You will have peace in the face of tribulation. It does not mean that peace is the absence of tribulation. Rather, in the presence of tribulation, or in the presence of much tribulation, you will still have peace. His peace is what erases fear. Now, according to historical accounts, the apostles were scattered. Perhaps they willingly spread out so they could cover more ground. Hence, more parts of the world could hear the good news. These men called the entire world to repentance and faith in the risen Christ. They suffered greatly for their faith, and in most cases, they met violent deaths on account of their bold witness. But we know for sure that they died in peace because the peace of Christ was with them. Now, assess your life. Assess your life and ask yourself, do I have peace? Now, friend, I know you have troubles. Everyone has troubles. And our passage gives the assurance that in the world, you have tribulation. There is no escaping it. Do you think that you will have peace if your cancer goes away? I know a lot of healthy people who do not have peace. Lakas-lakas ng kanilang katawan. Do you think you'll have peace when you finish these projects or you meet these quotas at work? For sure, another project or another quota will be given to you and it will be another unrealistic quota that would cause you even more stress. Now, do you think you will have peace if all of your debts are paid? Mabayaran lang lahat ng utang ko, magkaka-peace na ako. Ganun ba? That's a joke because there are a lot of rich people out there who have no debts and who are so rich, but they do not have a peaceful night's sleep. So if war is raging in your heart and you feel that you have no peace, remember these words of our Master. Return to the Word. Believe it. Have faith. Christ is worthy of the title Prince of Peace. And then finally, we come to the last instruction on how to overcome the world. How to overcome the world, yes. Yeah. Number three, be strengthened by the victory of Christ. It says, in the world you have tribulation. That's what Jesus warns us. We live in a world full of evil, a world system dominated by the prince of the power of the air. The world hates you and will be hostile towards you. But he says, take courage. In the ESV, it says, take heart. In the King James Version, he says, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. What does that mean? It means cheer. Be happy. Yon. Be happy in the world. You have tribulations and be happy. So Jesus ends the upper room discourse with these words. In the face of tribulation, he says, do not lose heart because, he says, I have overcome the world. Yes, I will be arrested. I'll be tried. Tried at night, under the cover of night, 24/7, 24 hours, 7 days a week pala yung trials noon because he had to be tried at night. And then he says, I will be beaten and I will be sentenced to death on a cross. But it will be by my death and resurrection that I have overcome the world. I have conquered Satan and the entire world system. Please turn with me to John 12. We'll read from verses 31 to 32. John 12, 31 to 32. It says, now judgment is upon the world. Now the ruler of the world, that is Satan, will be cast out. And if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself. Turn also to Hebrews 2. Hebrews 2, verse 14. Hebrews 2, verse 14. Therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise also partook of the same, that through death he might render powerless him who had power, the power of death, that is the devil. Turn also to 1 John 3, verse 8. We'll just be reading the last portion of the verse. And it says, the Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. And then, favorite verse of many of us, please turn to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 55 to 57. 1 Corinthians 15, 55 to 57. And let me read this to you. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John 5, verse 4. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Those who believe that Jesus is God's Son are overcomers. They have overthrown the enemy. Now, because of our union with Christ, we now partake of His victory because He gives us this victory. He, or this, is a blessed privilege because, but also a warning to those who do not know Him. By the same logic, if you do not know Him, you are lost. You are part of the world system that is overthrown and overcome. You are part of the losing team. And you will suffer the eternal consequences of being part of that losing team. And if this concerns you, if you are burdened by this, we'd like to invite you to please go to that room in the corner of our sanctuary, and later a ministry head or a ministry worker will approach you to share the good news with you. You do not have to be part of the losing team. You can have victory in Christ when you leave this sanctuary today. Now, I noticed that we do not use the phrase "claim it" here in our church, except when we want to make fun of hyper-faith teachers who are fond of using this phrase. But if you have to claim something, claim this. Claim your victory, which Christ Himself won for Himself and for us. We must claim our spiritual position in Christ and believe in faith. That is what we have been trying to teach this church for many years. And we need to act like it. What good is claiming the victory in Christ when you live in despair because your troubles are so great and you do not believe that Christ will deliver you from them? Ano silbi nun? Oh, you of little faith. We need to live out our faith. Believe this promise and be strong in the victory of Christ. Now, as Jesus gave His final words to His disciples, He knew that His disciples' sorrow would be turned to joy because they would overcome the world. And so, as I finish my message, may we always remember these things that Christ has taught us, because this will give us the power to overcome the world. How do we do it? How do we do this? One, by being guided by the teachings of Christ. Number two, by being comforted by the peace of Christ. And finally, by being strengthened by the victory of Christ. I pray that this message has touched your heart, and I pray that it will make a permanent effect on your lives. Please join me now in praying. Lord, we thank You for Your word. This may have been a short message. Sandali lang po. Before we go to our closing prayer, I'd like to invite the worship team to sing our last song.
nations rage when there is no peace and the cries of war are loud and strong. We will not be moved, we will not be shaken. Kings and kingdoms fall, but the Lord
resurrection, you have overcome. And you will reign forever, Lord, in this world. You will reign forever in our lives, Lord. We come before you and we acknowledge this truth now, Lord. If we have been hesitant to declare it, we declare it now, Lord God, with all strength, with all faith. You are Lord. Allow us, Lord God, to be strengthened by this truth. Allow us to be strengthened by your words, Lord. Father, because this is your truth. This is your word. And so we come before you. We thank you for every heart that has listened to this message, whether in person or online. We pray that you will just continue to remind us of these truths, these things. Guide us now, Lord God, and allow us to just be thankful for all of this. We just thank you for everything that you have given us. In Jesus' name, Amen. Amen. Happy Sunday to all of you.